I'm going to be preaching on America tonight. What does America's future hold? Well, I'm going to share a lot of thoughts with you tonight. I really believe. Steve, all my life as a young kid preacher, and I've always tried to look for, see where America is in end time prophecy. And I can't find it. But I think God has shown me. God has shown me, Brother Danny, I believe, why I don't see America in end time prophecy. I think he's shown me something. And so I'll be preaching that tonight. And it won't be for sissies. I'm just going to give you the straight truth from the Word of God. And hopefully America will turn back to God. Amen. Today I want to bring a message from Numbers chapter 22. Stubborn as a mule. How many of you have ever heard that saying? He's as stubborn as a mule. And most of us are. Lizzie's saying, amen, preacher. That birthday girl knows where that stubborn mule lives. But I'm going to give you some thoughts from this scripture. It's a familiar passage of scripture. But I want to give you some thoughts from it. I hope they'll encourage your life today. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Numbers chapter 22. And let's start at verse 22. I'm going to be looking at some of the some of these verses in the whole chapter, but I want to just read a few verses with you, and then we'll get into the message. In Numbers chapter 22, in verse 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I think many times you and I do things, and we get God's anger up. Can I tell you something? You don't want to get God mad at you. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way up for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. He was mad because she saved his life, but he don't know what's going on. And he takes it on the mule. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. Boy, he needed that. You may be amazed what God does sometimes in our lives to get our attention. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. Uh-oh. God's making sure he stopped this time. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Now you got to look up here. This is the mule talking to Balaam. Hello? There used to be a show years ago when I was a kid. Something about a talking horse. Oh, dun, 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 dun. What was it? Mr. Ed. Well, this wasn't Mr. Ed. I think this was Mrs. something. Mrs. Cleo or something. I don't know. But anyways, this mule is literally talking to Balaam. Now look, I'm going to read a couple more verses. I'll let you sit down. But I want you to get this. How far away from God is Balaam when he's having a conversation with a mule and don't think nothing of it? I mean, if you go home and start talking to your dog and cat today and they talk back to you, don't call me. I don't want to know. I tell you. And look at verse 29. He's talking to the mule now. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. He said, if I had a sword, I'd cut your head off right now. What an idiot. Duh. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine until this day? What? Look what he says to him. Look what the mule says to him. Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he did I ever do anything against you, Balaam? He said, nay. No, you haven't. You've been a good mule, man. Boy, let's go out and get a pizza. Then, verse 31, the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. Boy, what does God have to do to get our eyes open? And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head. That's a good place to start. And fell flat on his face. That's where we need to be before God. The angel of the Lord said unto him, wherewith hast thou smitten thee three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. I think there's a lot of people, they with perverse ways before God. And the ass saw me, verse 33, turn from me these three times. And look, then he says, look, angel's talking, he says, hey, Balaam, you're lucky, because unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. I'd have killed you and left her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, verse 34, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back. Heavenly Father, I really believe you put this in my heart to preach. Help me to be a blessing to the people. Holy Spirit, fill me. May they see Jesus Christ lifted, raised, and risen high, Father, and anointed to come back soon. Help us to, Father, to learn from this true story. Help us to learn truth, for we our walk with you, a daily walk would be a blessing and not a curse. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. We've all heard the statement, he's as stubborn as a mule. And Balaam was fortunate to own a mule that lived up to that statement, stubborn as a mule. If that mule wouldn't have been stubborn, Coolidge, he'd have lost his life. Bad thing is, Billy, Balaam was more stubborn than his mule was. And let's look at the scripture in chapter 22. And I just want to glean some truth for our lives. Look at verse 4, and this is just a notation of teaching for you here. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that's around about us, as the ass licketh up the oxen and grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Now, I was going to be a turn, but we aren't going to have time to it. Just put Genesis right there by that scripture, put Genesis 19, 36 to 38. The Moabites were, these Moabites remind us of past sins that come back to haunt us. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? And the only one saved there was Lot. Lot got out with his two daughters. And after they got out, his two daughters got him drunk, and he had sex with each one of them. And out of those two girls, you know, they got him out of Sodom, but they didn't get Sodom out of them. And out of those two daughters of Lot, you have the Moabites and the Amorites, and both of them became enemies of the Jewish people. See how sin comes back to haunt you? How many are still with preacher? Those descendants of Lot's daughters, after they fled Sodom, were, in the years to come, became a real hindrance to them. Now notice verse 7. Well, let's look at verse 5. And the king Zippor was king, and he sent messengers, verse 5, therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor. Boy, this is a Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Anyways, which is a is by the river of the land of the children of his people to call him, saying, Behold. By the way, I'm not making fun of the scripture. I just can't pronounce all those words. And if the truth be known, most of you can't either. We get to heaven, Brian, we'll probably find out all of us were wrong. That's not how you call my name. Look at, and he said, the people to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth. That's talking about Israel, man. Remember, when they came out with about maybe 2 million when they came out of Egypt. And they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. It's Balak wanting Balaam to curse the people of Israel. For they are too mighty for me. Preadventure I shall prevail that we may smite them, that I may drive them out of the land. And I want that he would, thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou, he knows, I, he said like this, Billy. He said, I know whoever God can bless people and he can curse people. And if he blesses us, we'll be good. But if he curses us, we'll be in trouble. By the way, that still holds today. How many want to be blessed of God? You don't want to be cursed of God. In verse 7, I got a kick out of this. The elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed from with the rewards of divination. Huh? They were going to try to bribe them. It was what they called bribe money. How many are with me? The rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam. They're going to try to pay him off. It hasn't changed, has it? They're still paying people off in Washington. I better get off that. And spoke on him the words of Balak. Look at verse 8. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night. Now look what Balaam's saying. He knows that Israel is the apple of God's eye. Yet he wants that money. How many are with me yet? And so Balaam says, hey, I like that money. He said, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the prince of Moab abode with Balaam. Oh, I tell you. You know, there's sometimes you don't have to pray about some things. Sometimes it's just plain out right or wrong. And this was outright wrong to try to take money to pray against Israel. God's not going to curse Israel. And he knew that. But he wanted that pizza money. Look at verse 9. Let me just say this. Even before he prayed, even before Balaam prayed, Balaam knew he was wrong to pray to God to curse Israel. He knew it was wrong. He said, "Don't stay here. I'll see if I can talk God into this." By the way, a lot of times we know things are wrong in our life, and we pray and we try to talk God into it. God's looking down. You're an idiot. Hello? Sometimes there are a lot of things you don't have to pray about, whether they be right or wrong. This is one of them. Then there's another one, like drinking. You have to pray about drinking. Alcohol is wrong. You have to pray about watching pornography. Watching pornography is wrong. This, what Balaam was trying to do here was wrong, and he knew it before he even did it. And look at verse 9. God came to Balaam. Oh, boy. Look at verse 9. And God came. Wow. And unto Balaam and said, What men are these with? God was mad. He was hot. What are you doing with these people? These are our enemies. Hello? I wonder sometimes how God feels about us. It makes a difference what group you run with. It makes a difference who you associate with. See, Balaam had no business to being with these were enemies of God. We don't have no business being with enemies of God. Hello? You wonder how come you get into trouble. You're in the wrong place with the wrong people. You young people, you need to listen to the preacher today. By the way, you look sharp today, buddy. Colton, you look like a preacher, man. That suit with that red tie, sharp, man. And Jimbo, all these guys up here in front. Man, we're recruiting some preachers here, buddy.
Amen.
Listen, the crowd that you run with will dictate how you think and how you do. Hello? And verse 9, God came to Balaam, and God was not happy. Balaam, what are you doing with these men? You know you're with the wrong crowd, and it matters who you keep company with. Don't run with the wrong crowd. You'll end up going against God. Verses 11 and 12, 10 and 11. Look at verse 10 and 11. And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent me unto me, saying, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt. Duh. You think he didn't know who that was? Everybody knew who they were. All the lands around, people feared them. They said, this people of Israel came out. Over millions of people came out. And God kept giving them land after land and defeated enemy after enemy. That's why they were afraid. Hello? You think Balaam the prophet didn't know who these people were? Duh. Hello? Is anybody home? Listen. God would never curse Israel. And Balaam knew it. Balaam knew who came out of Egypt. Listen, I put this down. Don't try to play dumb with God. He knows your motives. You know, God, is this wrong? Yeah, Balaam, it is wrong, and you knew it before you said it. How many times did we try to get God to get on our God, can I just do this? Is that wrong, God? We know it's wrong even before we go to him. Look at verse 12. By the way, God, he knows our motives. He knew Balaam's motives. Balaam had one motive, to get money. Look at verse 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Is that pretty plain? I mean, how hard is it to understand the word no? What don't you understand, Balaam, about no? For thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. What an airhead. What a knucklehead. You think, no, Eddie, you and I aren't even near this clown. He was a chucklehead on top of everything. Man, God says, look at that. Shalt not thou curse the people, for they are blessed. You want me to curse Israel, Balaam, so you can get some money? I don't care, but I'll never curse. They're my beloved. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Zechariah, and I'll show you tonight, Zechariah 2:8, I think it is, Israel is the apple of God's eye. I tell you, this world better wake up. This administration better wake up. This country better wake up. God says, Balaam, don't go with them. The people are blessed of God. Oh, man. Look at verse 13. Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the prince of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. Well, Bobby, he knew that before I ever talked to God. Am I making sense to anybody? Now watch. And verse 14. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. Look at the next verse. Balaam sent yet again. Balak. You know why he did it? He saw that Balaam didn't have great convictions. People will tempt you more if they see you don't have great convictions. If they think they can get you to waver, and turn against God, they'll come at you all the time. That's why, you know, and I know people think I'm too strong, but we need some strong Christians today. When it comes to abortion, it's murder. Comes to alcohol, it's evil. Pornography is abomination. Sodomites, which you don't know, but the Bible calls them the queers. They're evil. You say, oh, I never. Stick around here, you'll never lot. It's because preachers aren't preaching anymore. But it's all in the Bible. I'll show you tonight. I'll show you tonight. When you waver for taking a stand for the right things of God, don't be surprised if you're tempted to give in. And some will say, oh, preacher, it's just one time. Just one time, preacher, I want to compromise. There ain't no compromise, not even one time. By the way, once you start compromising, you're going to keep compromising again and again and again. And then verse 17. For I will promote thee. Look, latter part of 16. Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee under very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, pray thee, and curse me this people. Balak's bribing Balaam. How many are with me? You got to see this. I'm going to just say, look what he says. He says, man, I'll promote thee. If you come, hey, Balak should have said, get away from me. I'm not going to have nothing to do with you. I'm not going to even listen to you. I'm not going to entertain your request. He should have said to those people, get out of here. That's what you all do when you're watching evil TV shows. That's what y'all do when you're place that you ought to get out of there. Listen. Here Balaam is being bribed by Balak to promote him. Did you know the Bible says promotion cometh from God above? I want to read to you. Don't turn to it. Psalm 75, 6 and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east nor west nor from the south. Did you notice there's one left out? If it doesn't come from the east, if promotion doesn't come from the east, and it doesn't come from the north, I mean, if it doesn't come from the east, don't come from the west, don't come from the south, there's only one more way it could come from, north. And that's where God abides, in the north. How many are with me? But that's why they make Santa Claus up in the north, trying to make him like a god. Oh, I'll get you mad at me. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, and he set up another. I'm going to tell you right now, it's God that does all the promotion. And if you get promoted, it's because God gave it to you. Verse 18, Balaam says, Balaam answered in verse 18, on the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me this house full of silver, and he wants it too, Brian, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, that's a great statement. Well, let's read verse 19. Now, therefore, I pray you tarry ye. Well, stay here a little longer. Maybe I can get this thing worked out after all. Hello? When something's wrong, God's answer is always the same. N-O, no. Now, therefore, I pray you tarry ye. He just had God come down on him, and now he's still trying to get that guy. Stay here. Don't take your money. I want that gold and silver. I pray, tell you also this night that I may know what the Lord will say unto me. How many times you got to tell him? Hello? And God came unto Balaam at night and said, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of you, when people read that, they say, man, God told me, God gave in. No, God didn't give in there. He wanted to see if Balaam would do right. Hello? Because when you get to verse 22, it says God's anger was kindled because he went. How many times you got to tell a kid not to do something? And they say, can I do this? Can I go here? Can I do this? How many of your parents are with me today? Sometimes you just got to smack that little royal thing bottom on them and say, no, stand them up for Jesus. By the way, when you discipline a child, don't ever hit them in the head and stuff like that. There's a godly way to discipline children, and there's an ungodly way to discipline children. When I was younger, my kids were growing up, and they'll tell you this is the truth, and get Dave and Tammy. First of all, you should never hit a child when you're mad. Never hit a child when you're mad. When my children were young and they did bad, and David and them will tell you, I'd say, Dad's going to spank you. But before I spank you, we're going to pray. And I would get down with my kids and say, God, I love my children. I know sin will destroy their life. Lord, let them see that in this discipline that I'm going to have for them, that I love them. A lot of times I'd say to David, you know why Dad's doing this? He said, yeah, because you love me. Some of you don't love your kids because you never spank them. I'm not just saying spank to spank. I'm saying when a kid does, like, see all the silver hairs here? We know. We grew up in a time where if my dad told me, don't do this. He'd only tell me one time, brother. And if I kept doing it, my dad would just get up, wham, wham, wham. You know what? The next time he told me the first time, I was doing it. I didn't need to count to 10 or all this other stuff they have. I don't timeouts. And I wish my dad would have had timeout. Man, he almost knocked me out. That's why you got rebellion in the schools. We're seeing all the school and the teachers having trouble. Because there's no discipline. Even our Christian school, our kids' mind, and we don't spank them, but I wish we did. But we can't get no lawsuits. That's the only reason we don't paddle you kids. But what I do is I tell your mom and dad to take you home and paddle you. Amen. Because I went to a public school and they whacked me a lot. Matter of fact, I can't remember a year other than maybe kindergarten that I didn't get whacked. And even my senior year in high school, Mr. Quads, he was still whacking me going a month before I graduated. There was something wrong with me. But they were trying to give me a message. I don't even know where I'm at right now with this. This has gotten, what I'm doing now is not, I'm trying to find where I was. He wanted to curse Israel. And by the way, our president and the rest of the liberals need to know the truth, this truth. We ought not curse Israel. We ought to be blessing Israel. And that goes for all people. I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. Israel is beloved of God. And a country that goes against them, got a curse on them. Now notice verse 20 and 21. I got to close this up. What time is it? Oh, I still got 15 more minutes. I'm not closing up. I wasn't closing up anyways. I just want to make you think you're getting out. Look at verse 20 and 21. I'm starting to, look up here. I'm starting to feel better. Eddie, I'm starting to paw in the valley again. I think I'm getting my paw on. I think I'm getting my paw back. I really do. Still can't whoop Rosie in arm wrestling, but I'm getting my paw back. 21, let me try to get at this, if I can find it. And Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass and went with them. He went with the princess of Moab. What does he got any businesses going with them? God told him, no, no, no. Is there something you don't understand about N-O? I mean, even the Webster Dictionary would tell you, no means no. Listen, Balaam wanted to sell out. Balaam wanted to sell and turn his back on God and God's people just for gold and silver. Otherwise, he would have told Balaam would have told Balak, get out of here. Leave me alone. I won't come with you and I won't curse Israel. That's what he would have said. And then Balaam rises up and went with the princes of Moab in verse 21. Look at verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. In other words, God was mad. He was wroth. He was very angry. He was hot, as we would say. He was very, very displeased with the actions of Balaam. Now, look at verse 22. God's anger was kindled because he went. And so God said, okay, I tried to give you the message. Now I'm going to send an angel to stop him. What an extreme thing for God to have to do. I wonder, when we keep saying no to God, and we keep heading the direction that God don't want us to take, what extreme thing does God have to do to get in our way to stop us from going in the direction he doesn't want for our life? Am I making sense, anybody? And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now, he was riding upon his ass, and the two servants with him. So there's the three of them, and look at verse 23. The ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn. Why didn't Balaam see it? If a dumb mule can see it, why can't he see it? Because when you get so far away from God, when we turn our back and draw towards darkness and evil, when we turn our back from light and turn into darkness, I'm going to tell you, everything looks dim. And we just don't see the things that we're supposed to see because we're heading the wrong direction. I was talking to some of the kids yesterday. You young people, listen to me. Preacher's lucky he got saved. I grew up in bars from 14 years old and upward. I was in pool halls, and I started drinking when I was 14, 15 years old. By the time I was 18 years old, I was like an alcoholic. I'm lucky I got saved, Jimmy. I'm lucky. In those bars, people pulled knives on me, pulled guns on me, all kinds of fights. It's a miracle that I ever lived. Had I died back then, I'd have went to hell because I wasn't saved. There's no reason, Kyle, there's no reason ever for any of you boys ever to go into a bar and drink. I've heard a guy say, well, I'm going in and witness it. You're an idiot. Yeah. Why would light go into darkness? Witnessing them at the grocery store. Yeah. Witnessing where you work. Well, I want to be like them. No, the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord. Hello? You ain't got no business in those places you ain't supposed to be. I'm glad some of those kids never took a drink of alcohol that I was talking about. That's tremendous. You gotta say, I'm never gonna take one of Satan's brew, not one time. Amen. Many times God will and so Balaam went with them. And God was mad because he wanted to see if Balaam would do the right thing and choose the right way to go, but he didn't. Many times God will let us make choices on our own just to see if we'll choose the right thing.
Well, why didn't God stop me? Why didn't you choose right?
God don't force us to do things. He lets us make our own moral judgments. The question is, will you choose the right thing to do when you're tempted and tested by darkness? Now, God is furious with Balaam. Verse 22, so God sends the angel of the Lord to stop Balaam. I got question. Hello? What does God have to do in our lives to stop us from going in the wrong direction in our lives? Listen to me. Some of you today, I really believe this. Some of you today may be heading in the wrong direction. Maybe why God had me preach this. Some of you people, I don't know all your lives, but some of you might be heading in the wrong direction. Maybe some of you young people are thinking about going in the wrong direction. You better listen to the preacher. You better listen to the Word of God, because I'm trying to head you off before trouble comes. What does God have to do in our lives to stop us from going in the wrong direction in life? Some today may be even heading in the wrong direction, and you know it's the wrong way, and you're a stubborn mule. You're as stubborn as a mule and won't turn back even though you know it's wrong. Verse 23, the ass saw the angel of the Lord. So why didn't Balaam see the angel? Because of evil and sin in his life. Greed will blind you from the things of God. Sin will blind you to the things of God, for God. When we walk in darkness, we fail to see the light of God. It matters what you watch. It matters where you go. It matters what you read. As the man thinketh, so is he. Hello? I'm excited. Pastor David, we're all reading through the Bible this year. I think a lot of people are reading too, preacher. I know I'm reading. I got that nice book, and if you need a book, we got them. Shows you what to read every day, and it's got some in the Old Testament. Every day you're reading some in the Old and some in the New Testament, plus Proverbs and Psalms. And so this, if you need a book, want to start reading, you haven't started, well, these are free. These are free. Matter of fact, Jimmy, after church is over, let me give these to you, Jim. Put these on the back table for preacher. I'll keep that one up there. But this is a Bible chart, and you mark it off every day. And you know what? You say, preacher, I ain't got time. You do have time. We make time for what we want to do. Check how many hours you're watching TV every day. I have. It scares you. We like to watch that show, NCIS, I think it is. Me and Rosie watch that. Barbie. The guy used to be a football player, quarterback. What's that guy's name? Yeah, Mark Harmon. And, I love that show, man. They always get the bad guys, amen? But, man, that show alone is an hour long. Actually, it's only like 15 minutes, 45 minutes commercials. But a lot of times, Marty, they'll have them things back to back. And I sat there for two stinking hours and watched that boob tube. Hello. You say, man, what's wrong with our preacher? What's wrong with you? You'll sit there for 6 hours. I'll at least get up and get some tea, something to eat. And by the way, I'm going to get on you kids for a minute. I'm feeling better. Trust me, I'm telling you. You know, I'm not going to preach on it all today. I'm just going to mention it today. And I'm going to probably get this whole church mad at me. And I don't give a flip. I am so worried for our young people, the boys and the girls, because I've never seen one. There's a game that the kids put on the computer, I think. It's called E-Box, or what's those games that those kids? Xbox! Right, X marks the spot. You say, oh, preacher, I knew you'd be preaching on that. All right, you parents, you listen to me. Watch how many hours your kids are on that Xbox. They'll spend 4, 6, 10 hours a day on an Xbox. And I've never seen one. I never watched one, but they tell me it's all killing. And you wonder why our kids don't have the love of Jesus in them? They're filled with the hatred of Satan in them. I know you're going to get mad at me. Oh, that preacher preaches on everything. We never have no fun. If I loved you, I'll tell you what's wrong. Guy don't care, he won't tell you. I'm just telling you, America's in trouble because we've got kids, and my own kids are watching that E-box, playing that, whatever that game is, Xbox. And I know it might not be bad for a little, but when you make it for hours and hours and hours, there's something wrong. I'm done with it. There'll be a day I take the whole night on it. But it's, I'm telling you what it's doing. It's wrecking our kids. See, when I was a young kid, we didn't have those boxes. We didn't have those toys. We went to the ballpark and played baseball. We really did. Sandlot. Oh, a preacher would get up in the morning, eat cereal, eat breakfast, and we'd run to the park, and I'd be there till my dad brought me home at nighttime. Oh, I'd run home for lunch and grab a sandwich and go right back. Oh, whatever happened. Well, you drive around, you never see kids play sandlot baseball no more. You don't see kids out there, they play on the teams, school teams. But what about sandlot coolies where all the kids used to play all the time? I'm not talking about a league. I'm talking about guys just, kids grabbing a mitt and bat and ball. And you played until the guy that owned the ball had to go home. Hello? That's how it was when I was a kid. And I spent hours, and if we didn't play baseball, we played football. Or we played basketball. We did play hide and seek. We did. We really did. And by the way, preachers old enough, we play, and these kids won't know what I'm talking about. I played kick the can. I almost kicked the bucket about 6 months ago, but when I was a kid, I was kicking the can. I got to close out on here. So if you don't want to kick the bucket and not kick the can, stay off that Xbox. Stay off that Xbox. I know people are all mad at me today. Boy, that preacher just tore our house up. I'm not going to come here. Do what you want, but I'll tell you, it will come back to haunt you. You can't let the enemy in your home and don't think it's not going to destroy you. And by the way, it's not all the kids. The adults like that thing just as much. Get excited about this basketball league that's coming on right now at the basketball tournament. What's the name? March Madness. Yeah, get some March Madness in you. Get some spring baseball in you. Get excited about doing something outside and getting some exercise. You know, when Preacher could exercise, I was only about 155 pounds. And Preacher could play ball when I was a kid. When I married Rosie, you're not going to believe this, and I got pictures to prove it. And I showed my I don't know who it was, I showed my wedding pictures to someone in this family, in this church, I showed it to him. I weighed 158 pounds when I married Rosie. I've come a long ways, haven't I? Let's finish this out. And so, verse 24. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on the side and a wall on the other side. And when Ash saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall, crushed Balaam's foot. Man, he was really mad because it hurt. He would have killed her if he'd had a sword. What he failed to realize is that donkey saved his life. You know, a lot of times God sends people and things in our life to try to help us. We get mad at the preacher. We get mad at Pastor Dave, or we get mad at one of the Sunday school teachers or the school teacher. You kids go to Bethel Baptist Christian Academy. You ought to thank God for every dedicated teacher we have. You say, I don't know why they gave me the homework. I don't know why that person can triple what she's making or they're making a salary at a regular job, but they sacrifice their life to give you the Word of God and to teach you the things of God and to teach you principles of math and English and things, language and stuff like that, so you have a good curriculum to grow up with, and yet you make fun of your teachers. Whew, I don't get it. You ought to bring them an apple at least once a week. And preacher one too. Now look at verse, I got to close this. Look at 28 through 30. Man, I could have went all day on this. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass and said unto Balaam, I'm in verse 28, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me? I mean, this ain't the talking horse Ed. This is a mule, Cleo, or Clara, or somebody. talking to Balaam. I just want you to see something about this. I'm almost done. Here, God had to go so to an extreme to get his life turned around. God had to go to such an extreme, he had to have an animal talk to him. A mule. And the mule actually saved his life. And he wanted to kill her. Isn't this something, sometimes we want to do more, this more harm and destruction to the very people that love us the most. Husbands, and I'm one of these guys. A lot of times, Eddie, you, and preacher, and not just me and you, Eddie, all these guys in here, most of them. Our wives are the most important thing in our lives. And how do we treat them? Hello? Hello? How do we treat them? I mean, we need to stop and think, man, God, you have blessed me with this wonderful wife. Amen. Bible says in Proverbs, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Amen. Billy, that lady you married is a good thing. I don't know what kind of thing, but she's good. Now listen to me. What does God have to do to make us open our eyes to see truth? We've got our wonderful wives to stand by and take care of us and do it. And we abuse them many times and don't take them for granted and don't treat them right. We ought to start, and you say, it's not Father's Day. I'm getting a head start. Start treating them right. Notice Balaam 29 said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there have a sword in my hand. Now I've killed thee. Good thing he didn't. He'd have died himself. Because the angel of God would have killed him. Verse 30, and the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, which thou hast ridden upon ever since I was lying unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? Did I ever mess you up? Did I ever do anything against you? I mean, here he's talking to his mule. And the mule said, did I ever do anything against you, Balaam? He said, nay, I don't think so. No, you've been a... Up to this day, you've been really a good mule. Now, if you go home today and you see Josh talking to that dog you just got, and the dog talking back, Michael, get out of there. I mean, I'm almost done. Hang in here. I want you to think... I mean, wouldn't you think that's a little strange? I mean, if you went home and had a conversation with your dog, and the dog talked back to you, I know you talk to your dogs. I'm talking about them dogs talking to you. And you talking back to them. And thinking there's everything's all right. Everything's all right in my father's house. When you start hearing animals talk to you, it's not all right. Something's not kosher. They probably do. How far from God was Balaam to literally carry on a conversation with this donkey and not even know there was something wrong? Don't you think something would be out of place? Can you imagine Bobby coming on? I don't even know if you have a puppy, but I'm just saying you got one just for this example. Can you imagine Bobby coming home and walking in the door and see Jamie talking with her dog? Dog talking back. And, hey, Bobby, you ought to see what Fido said to me today. Bob saying, what? Just a minute, Jamie. I remembered I have another job to do. I'll come back tomorrow. turn the light on when you know it's good for me to come. Listen, look at verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass three times? He beat that poor animal three times. And before I went out to withstand thee, because the way, thy way is perverse. Sometimes our way is perverse before God. What does God have to do to get us to turn from those ways? This was unbelievable. And by the way, you said, oh, that's just a story, preacher. No, that's the Word of God. That mule actually talked, and he actually talked back to it. But when you get to that extreme in your life, and that means you're just so far from God, you lost reality. Because in reality, I don't care how much you love your dog and cat, they don't talk. And you shouldn't listen to them if they do. Last verse, 33. And now the ass saw me and turned from me three times. Three strikes and you're out. Unless she had turned from me, surely not. She said, Balaam, you are so lucky your mule turned away from me these three times. Surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. He said, you're lucky, chucklehead. I'll get it down to me and Eddie's thing. If she wouldn't have turned away, I would have killed you. Left her alive. She saved your life. And you've been beating on her all day. I mean, here's a hang up. When you have a conversation with a mule and it doesn't seem to bother you at all, you better check where you're at. There must be God, there's something wrong with my life. Amen. If your dog or cat starts to talk to you today, you better stop what you're doing, and because that's not normal. Now don't call me this afternoon and say, hey preacher, you're not gonna believe it. My dog talked. I listened to my cat, and she went, meow. Translated, I love you. Translated, give me some food. Translated, let me out. Translated, fill the kitty box again. Meow. Last verse. And Balaam said unto the angel, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way. And I want to say something, and I'm all done here. I mean it, I really am. The angel said to Balaam, you're lucky that mule turned aside every time. You'd have been dead right now, buckle. He didn't say buckle, but you get it. And today I want to close this message. I'm done now. If you're heading down the wrong path in life, and by the way, if you are, you know you are. If you're doing something that God is displeased with, and you know God's displeased with it, or maybe you've been thinking about doing something that you know God's against. You haven't done it yet, but you're thinking. By the way, that's how everyone starts. Everyone does something. Before you do an act of sin, you think about it before you ever do it. It's everything you do is premeditated. And all I can say then, learn a lesson from Balaam. Turn from that way today. Turn to God today for help. Maybe you say, I can't make it. You can make it if you let God help you. Don't be like Balaam, stubborn as a mule. Give your heart to God today. Give your life over to Him. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, ask Him to save you today, forgive you of all your sin, and save you from hell and take you to heaven when you die. There's a lot about Balaam we can learn from. He was as stubborn as a mule. And I think sometimes all of us can get away from God, and we can become like them, stubborn as a mule. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. Help us, my Lord. Help us to know the right path, the right way. Speak to our hearts. Help us to flee from darkness and to stay in the marvelous light of Christ. Father, help us to acknowledge when we do wrong. Help us not to continue to go down that pathway and entertain more evil on top of evil. Father, please have full control of our lives. Get glory for our lives. And help us not to anger you with our talk and with the ways of our goings. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one's looking around. I wonder today, maybe there's something that you know, and I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. Maybe there's something in your life that you know you're doing wrong. And God's been trying to speak to you, and he finally sent an old preacher, the last gap, to try to say, hey, stop. God loves you. God's trying to turn you from the way. Maybe today you might want to find a place at the altar and say, oh God, help me not to go the way of Balaam. Help me not to go the way that is away from you. Help me, Father, to draw nigh to you that you might draw nigh to me. Father, bless this invitation. And if there's any lost, help them to see their condition. And help them to see that Christ is the only way to heaven. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What verse are you on, John?